Hallelujah, hallelujah. Genesis chapter number 37, beginning at verse number 9. Verse number 9 through 11. This little talk that we're having this morning is titled, An Assignment I Intend to Fail. An Assignment I Intend to Fail. I know that sounds kind of strange because most of the time if you have an assignment, you want to make sure that you complete or accomplish the task, the assignment. But as we get into this thing this morning, what we'll discover is that when someone else assigns something to you that you don't receive, it's okay to fail. Never do what people are expecting you to do because it's their dreams, their wishes, their desires. Always do what God is calling you to do. You ready?
Yes.
In life, people have told us that the first impression is the lasting impression. You ever received that? Ever heard that? Your first impression is the lasting impression. I submit to you that that is a lie. How do I know that? I know that because in life we meet lots of people. And once we get to know them, we discover that what we initially thought of the person was not true. And so that person that in the third grade you did not like, but by the time you made it to the 10th grade, all of a sudden, that person is your best friend. And sometimes you sit down and you laugh, you talk, and you say, you know, when I first met you, the truth is I really didn't like you. But years, as you get to know the person, you understand that the first impression may not necessarily be the lasting impression, because sometimes your first impression is not about the person that you're meeting, it's about what you bring to the meeting. Let me help you with that. If I've been hurt in a relationship, and I meet someone who wants to be in a relationship with me, then what I'm bringing to the relationship is my pain. Yes. So not necessarily is the first impression from that person is going to be a lasting impression, because I need to check me. It's the same thing in life, in that when you meet people, sometimes we make the assumption that, for example, the person is prejudiced. And sometimes that assumption is being pulled from you and your experiences, not necessarily the next person. And so what they desire from you is a friendship, but because you all messed up and in baggage and in pain, you're not bringing all of you to the relationship, so you assume the worst from the person instead of allowing the person to deal with you for who they are. So you begin to treat the person as what happened last time. It's important that we understand that the assignment, what people assign to you in life, really doesn't matter. What you say I should be in life, what you assign to me, has nothing to do with what God's spoken into my life. And so I get twisted, I get confused, because now I'm trying to do what you want me to do, the label that you placed on me, and I stop being about God's business because I'm trying to satisfy you and not God. And so because I'm trying to satisfy you, God says, let me just take a step back and let you run that crazy race, and when you finish, you'll understand that you need to serve God and not man. See, because if you try to serve man, what I want from you today, I wake up tomorrow and I'm having a bad day, therefore I change. I change, but I forget to call you and tell you that I change. So you trying to do the same thing for me today that worked for me yesterday. Now I'm mad with you because you can't make me happy because I change. I need to relationship with someone and you don't know how that person will come across today. Do I need to be like this today or like that? Do you have any of those friends in your life? We call them wishy-washy. They just like this, like this. Maybe it's just me. And you know, the Bible says that a double-minded person is unstable in all of his ways. And I know you try to justify your friendship with someone and you say they just like that only here. No, if they crazy over here, they crazy over there, and they crazy over there too. A double-minded person is unstable in all their ways. And so because people are insecure with themselves, what they try to do is try to throw it off on you. And if that's not worse enough, parents, if you lived a life and your dreams and your goals was never manifested, then you try to live your life through your child. So here it is, you got your child doing this and your child's, ooh, I really hate this. But mommy likes this and daddy likes this, and the child is saying, but I don't. So here it is, you spend all this money sending your child to school to do what you wanted to do, and when the child graduates, then the child go and do what they want to do, which has nothing to do with the thousands of dollars that you just spent. I'm trying to save some of the money this day. You have to allow your child to grow into themselves. The Bible declares that you have to train up a child in the way that he or she should go. Now, what that says is that every child is unique, so don't try to make all of your children do the same thing. Well, I want them all to be in this profession and that profession, and they're all miserable. You happy, but they're miserable. You have to allow people to do what it is that God is placing on their heart to do. Now, if you don't do that, what you begin to do is you begin to damage your child, because you begin to put labels on what the child should and could be. Now, when you begin to place label on children, what you're in essence doing is that you're making an assignment to that child. The label is, this is what you should do. And the child is saying, that's not what I want. But you're saying, this is good for you. No, it may be good for you, but that's not what God is placing on the child. You have to understand that that child is not your child. Let me say that again. That child is not your child. That child is not property of yours. I don't care if you gave birth to that child. I don't care if you was the father and you were doing your thing on that particular night. That child is not yours. You okay? All right. You shouldn't know what I'm talking about, but we'll talk about that later. When you begin to label children, when you begin to label children or label anything, in essence, what you're doing is you're putting a box around them and you're shaping their behavior. Because you said that my child should be this, and so you try to treat your child as though they're living in the box and this is how you should act. A lot of people make mistakes, especially preachers. Watch this. Because that one's sitting over there to stop paying attention. When you have a preacher's kid, sometimes people think your child should grow up and be in ministry. So you take your child and you try to pull them in ministry, and then that child is doing everything but ministry. That's why preachers' kids are so crazy today, because somebody tried to force them, and then the pastor says, I want you to be the next pastor, but God is calling somebody else. You can't assign a pastor to a church. To label. When you begin to label something or someone, and then when the person see you, two things happen. One, they can process you, or they pause. They can process you because they know what you're about. They know where you fit in. They know your story. But if what you are about in life cause somebody to pause, it's because you're not fitting in the box. I love this generation that has long hair, pants down to their knees. I love all of that about this generation because I believe that they are the chosen generation. I believe that the reason our children are going through so much is because Satan has an attack on them, because they are the generation that's going to break open some doors. They're going to do what we were afraid to do. And watch this. These generations today are coming together. What color your skin is does not matter. But you still stuck on it. These young kids are coming together today fulfilling the dream of Dr. King, where it says all of God's children coming together because we were afraid to do it. But you label the children. And so you place them in a box. And somebody told you that because their pants are baggy, it's because in prison it meant that they were open to something. Maybe. But they're not in prison. And by the grace of God, they're not going to prison. And so what it means to them is I'm hip, I'm cool, and I am from a royal generation. I'm not going to fit in your box. I'm going to do what God has called me to do. I told you I want to challenge you. So the next time you see some little black kid walking down the street, he's not going to shoot you. He just left the library. But what do you think? And the next time that some white person reach out to you to be a friend, it's not necessarily that they want to take your stuff. If you don't have education, you're going to give your stuff. Just want to challenge you. I just want to challenge you that never allow someone to label you. Because people come in different shapes, different size, and different shades.
Right.
Did you get that?
Yeah.
The shape. Everybody that you meet won't be curvy. Everybody won't have big boobs, and everybody won't fit the profile. These kids know what I'm talking about. So everybody... that 13-year-olds are having sex. Really? What were you doing when you were 13? Out the window you went. Come on, now. Come on, let's be real. See, this is my issue this morning. If the church don't talk about it, we look into the government to talk about it, and the government is talking about it because the church won't open its back door. Different shapes. They come in different sizes. And so all of them won't weigh 100 pounds. Tell your neighbor, excuse me for not being anorexic this morning. I said that. Tell them I love all of me. Different shapes, different size, and different shades. Different shades. So this is what I mean. I mean, isn't it silly for Miss Pam, who's African American, and Tony, as light as I am, for me and Miss Pam to dislike one another because her shade is lighter than mine. Y'all getting quiet on me. Who told you that being dark was a curse? Somebody told me that black is a curse. Foolishness. Who told you that just because somebody's light complexion, they must be a punk? Run up on them and try them and see. Who told you that just because somebody was white, they can't do this or they can't do that? Try it if you want to. Listen, God has no respect of person. The same way he blesses one, he blesses another, because we're all what I love about this generation is that they're breaking through that foolishness. What color are you? What shade are you? Are you light or are you dark? Who gives a fuck? You know what? What shade you are? And I said it before, and I'm saying it again. If we as a church is not a multiracial church, we have failed. Different shapes, different sizes, and different shades. To these kids, before I leave this, let me say something to you. I don't ever, never, not ever want to hear another one of these children here talking about one light complexion and one dark complexion. It doesn't make a daggone difference. It doesn't make a difference. Who told you that foolishness? Where did you get that from? So are you saying that because I'm dark, I'm dull? Not me. Not me. Who told you that? Why are you doing that to yourself? Why are you buying into that foolishness? Why are you fitting the box? Why do you begin insecurities because somebody told you this is who you are and this is how high you can go? Erase that. Rat bones ain't in anyway. It's blood bones. Because somebody told you who you are, now you begin to conform to what they said, and so now your life is limited not by someone else, but by you.
That's right.
Listen to this. Range, which is where you're going in life, the territory. Your range is predicated on you being able to change. If you can't change the way that you think, you'll stay in the box.
That's right.
If you decide to stay in the box, don't get upset with me because I can see and you choose to sit still.
Amen.
I'm not living there with you. I'm not having that pity party with you. You ever ever talk to somebody and every time that you talk to them, some man somewhere, some system somewhere got them down? I'm not saying that we live in a perfect world, but what I'm saying is greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. What I'm saying is that it's not always the person that I think is the demon that is the one that's hurting me. Sometimes it's the cool brother on my back that got a gun to me. Sometimes that's the problem. What I'm saying is open your mind and challenge yourself and be open to receive new things and have no limitations in life whatsoever. If you can see it, you can achieve it. But you have to be able to see it. You have to be able to see it. When you can see it, then you can go after it, whatever your it is. Now, back to the story of Joseph. I know you thought I forgot about Joseph. Now, the story of Joseph is that Joseph is this kid, and he is the child from his father when the father was old. And so the dad loves Joseph very much. Joseph has a dream. When Joseph has a dream, he goes and he tells his mom, his dad, and his brothers, "You guys gonna worship me." Uh-huh. What? Uh-huh. I wish Ricky would come and tell me. Listen, if you want haters in your life, amen, tell them your dream. If you want haters in your life, tell them that you're going somewhere. Tell them that you see something. Tell them that you're going after something. And watch people hate you because they can't see what God is doing in you. And that's okay that you hate me about what I dream. Because where I'm going in life, grace cosigned, I don't need you to cosign. So the truth of the matter is, I don't need you to fulfill the God-given gift or dream inside of me. And so if you ever run across a person and they can't do what God is calling them to do until somebody else line up, that's not your dream. When God gives you a dream, I don't need not one person to co-sign on what God told me. When God gives you a dream, you don't need one thing. You don't need credit. You don't need an education. You don't need a pocketbook behind you. If God said it, it shall. Stepping over all of your inabilities, all of your lacks, all of your dumb house, all of your bad credit, all of your singleness, all of your sickness. He'll step over all of that and says, "You are blessed and highly favored." Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Joseph goes and he tells his brothers. When Joseph tells his brothers that, they hate him. They take Joseph and then they strip him of everything, sell him. Once they sell him into slavery, he goes and then he is in prison. The worst place to be is gifted and can't use your gift.
My God!
When you have something inside of you and you can't let it out, that's the worst place to be. You know, if you can't get that gift, that talent, that anointing out of you, it feels like you'll just explode. When God gifts you with something, get it out. It doesn't matter if they don't receive it, you get it out. And if you wait for somebody to give you a blessing before, it won't happen. 9 times out of 10, people won't see what you were about until you finish it. Then the Johnny come lately come and say, "I knew you could do it all along." After you stayed up all night, after you struggled, after you cried, after you fasted, after you prayed, now you want to show up and say you saw it all along. Baby, where were you when I was going through this? Now you have the audacity to talk about me and call me arrogant. Where were you when I was going through this stuff? Now you think you know me and you're going to label me. The devil is a lie. I work for mine. I earn mine. And by the grace of God, I got mine. You can choose. Joseph is sold into slavery. He's in prison. He goes through all of these horrible things. And then at the end of all of that, then his blessings come. Sometimes sometimes you got to go through some stuff to get yours. You got to go through it. I remember when I was in college and I was pledging. And when I was in college and pledging, DP, the Dean of Pledges, he used to always tell us, "You all right, Peter? It's hazing. You all right?" So when I was in college, you know, you sometimes get beat real bad. And so all these bros will come to you and tell you, "You're going to buy me this, you're going to do this, you're going to do this for me." And you young, you crazy, you don't want to get another beat down, so you go and you do all this. And I remember Carl used to sit back and Carl used to say to us, "You spend all your money on all those people." He said, "But at the close of the day, I'm going to get me. It's the same with a child of God. I don't care who's being blessed to your left or to your right. At the close of the day, you're going to get you. God's going to bless you. So don't look to your left. Don't look to your right. Don't compare yourself to anyone. You got to know that God said He's going to bless me. I'm going to stand still. I'm going to see the salvation of the Lord. He may not come when I want Him, but I know God. He's always on time. And when God shows up, God shows out. Has He ever showed up in your life? Won't God show up? Won't He open the door? Won't He make your way out of no way? Won't He try to sit you in your house? Won't God do it? Then give Him some praise this morning. But don't be fooled. On Joseph's way to get his blessings, there's a lot of letdowns. And in life, you're going to experience letdowns. Sometimes you can have the best plan, a perfect dream, the vision is all lined up, everything is all lined up, and it still doesn't work. Then, but keep trying. See, I think sometimes God doesn't give us what we ask for the first time so that we can see whether or not we really want it. Children, perfect example. Do your children ever ask you to buy them something and then 2 minutes later they forget what they asking? Or you buy it and then they forget about they have it? Am I talking to anybody? Your children don't do that? Your children ever do that? Ask you for something and then 2 minutes later they forgot about the whole story. They do that. I wonder if we ever treat God like that. "God, please do this for me." And then 2 minutes later, we're going on. "I want green card, I want blue card." "No, God." And we're going on to something else. See, sometimes in life, you got to stand. You got to tarry for it. You got to just stand right there. And God has not shown up. And I feel like it's a letdown. But I trust you, God. I'm going to wait on you, God. I know that you're faithful. I know that you're true. I know that you're full of mercy. I know that you're full of grace. So God, I'm going to wait on you. And God, while I'm waiting on you, I'm going to throw in a praise early in the morning. While I'm waiting on you, God, I'm going to throw in a praise at noonday. And while I'm waiting on you, God, I'm going to pray for my sister, my brother, who just got their breakthrough. Because that didn't intimidate me. I just know I'm closer to mine. Can you pray for somebody else? Can you praise God with someone else? There's always letdowns. But this generation is a chosen generation. And because this generation is a chosen generation, they go through a lot of stuff, a lot of letdowns. See, but part of the letdowns is the assignments that we adults have given them. Stop putting your child in a box. See, Joseph had a dream, and the dream was that he'll be something great. But his situation and circumstances didn't look grateful. His situation and circumstances says, you know, my brothers are against me, my mother and my father, you know, it's like, wait a minute. If anybody should be praying for you, your household should. But how many of you know sometimes the greatest hell that you experience in life is up in your house? Sometimes the greatest hell that you experience is the one that you share a pillow with. Sometimes the greatest hell that you'll experience is your bosom buddy, the one that you told the dream, you told the vision to, because they come back and then they imprison you because you shared something too soon. Be careful when you release your dreams to people, and be careful who you release them to. Because when you say it, you put it out in the atmosphere. And when you put it out in the atmosphere, remember that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. And God has an imitator, so he fits. His name is Satan. So whenever you release it in the atmosphere, and then Satan comes and he tries to snatch it before it really catch root to anything, that's why a lot of things that you're praying and asking God for, we never receive, because we throw it out there too soon. Sometimes you need to shut your mouth. Let the haters talk. Let the naysayers say what they want. But at the close of the day, God showed up in your life and he blessed you. So you don't have to fight your battles. God will fight your battles. He said, this battle is not yours. It belongs to the Lord. You don't have to worry about your haters and naysayers. You just worry about your relationship with God. And he says, if you seek ye first the kingdom. God, what do you desire for me? What is your assignment? Don't let me read somebody else's email. I want to read what you're saying to me. I'm not concerned about my friend's blessing. I'm concerned about the blessings that has my name on it. That's what I'm concerned with. I'm concerned about, God, what you're speaking into my life. Because if God is depositing something into you, you better believe that it's already done. I was reading something a couple of days ago in closing. And it's where God was speaking to Jeremiah. God says to Jeremiah, he says, before I formed thee. You know I'm a word person. So the word form froze me. Because I was thinking, why didn't he say to Jeremiah, before I created you? He said, before I formed you. And so what's the difference? The difference is, when God breathed into Adam, he breathed the spirit of all of us into Adam. But he didn't pull you off the shelf until 1964, 1969, 1954. See, because in the spirit, we are all the same age, and we have the same power in the spirit. But because of labels and limitations, the dominion and the authority that God gave us, we released it to Satan. You have victory is what I'm communicating to you.
Amen.
You are a champion.
Yes.
Is what I'm communicating
Hallelujah.
To you. Why do you give somebody your power?
Hallelujah.
Why do you give it to Satan, who has no future? Why do you give it to him? The Bible declares on that day when all of this stuff is over, that you'll see Satan look at him and glance and say, is that the one that caused all the problems?
Amen.
You remember in school? The little one, the little punk, that was always behind somebody else, but kept everything going. And then when he finally came out, discovered he can't fight anyway. You remember that? It's the same with Satan. God says about you, he says you have dominion, authority over everything. Do you receive that this morning? Give God some praise. Give God some praise. Give God some praise. Give God some praise.